Testing 1, 2, 3.
Also, jump in and ask questions around some of her feedback as well. Okay, we've already talked to you about the crafts that you do. When you do your work, is it for sale, for your own family? What kinds of things do you do with your work?
Before she answers that, maybe you should get her to say her name, where she comes from, and the whole bit, and then that way it'll be right on the tape instead of jumping into the questions.
Start with your name and name of your reserve.
Oh, my name is Jean Stonefish. I'm of the Delaware Nation, and I live on the Moravian Reserve.
Okay. Again, about your work, what?
Well, I begin the work mostly for my family, and then my sister and I, she lives in Michigan, we decided that we would start attending these craft fairs, so that's how I begin to have it for sale, and then people would see the work I do for my family, and then I'd begin getting orders. So this is how it starts snowballing into what I'm doing now.
Do you go to powwows at all as well, or festivals?
A few years ago, we'd been, everyone in the area and out of the area we were going to, but not so much in the last couple of years. But I had the family dancing, my two sons, and my daughter and her family, so we'd all gather on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Who taught you to be here?
Oh, they begin craft classes here about 18 years ago, I believe, and it was more or less sharing. Everyone shared what they knew, but there was one lady there that sort of maybe she saw that I was really interested in, I don't know what it was, but she sort of took me under her wing and taught me other things that wasn't taught in the, at the craft classes. She's about 85 now, I think. Hilda Huff was her name. And she's in a nursing home now, but I think if she hadn't shown that interest in me and give me that extra time, I probably wouldn't have carried on with it. So I said I'd give her a lot of credit.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Did your family ever teach you anything about the crafts? Or?
No. What?
Like your grandmother?
No. My mother died when I was quite young, so then I moved from the reserve here to Michigan and lived there the majority of my life until I was married and the family was growing, and then I never picked up on it until I moved back, and that's been 20 years we've been back here on the reserve. Mm-hmm. But as for picking up anything from my family, I never did.
So how many generations are doing the beadwork in
on the reserve here?
In your family?
Just myself and my daughter.
What about her kids?
Well, they're really too young. Well, I imagine her oldest daughter does a little of the work. She's 11. And she does some of her work, but not to the extent that her mother does.
Why did you originally take the classes? What made you sign up for them?
Well, just moving back to the reserve and time hung heavy on my hands after coming from the city, that anything of interest, I think I joined just to keep busy, to keep boredom, keep from being bored, I think. I never dreamed I'd come to this when I started the classes, it was just something to do.
So what is it that you personally get out of it? How do you feel while you're working on the beadwork?
Seeing something take place before me, something forming, I get a satisfaction in knowing I'm able to do this. If I see something new and different, it's like a challenge. Can I do it? Once I know I can do it, I'll go on to something else. But it's a personal satisfaction. I think even if I didn't have anything for sale, I'd continue to do it. It's just a sense of accomplishment, I think, of being able to accomplish mm-hmm. something.
When you were living in Michigan, were you living in a Native community then?
No. Had very little contact with Native people, other than my own immediate family and, you know, cousins and that. But as for, they did have the, what was the name of it? Indian Club of something, I can't even remember the name of it now, North American Indian Association. But it was more for social events that I can't even recall seeing much beadwork when I was growing up or any of the craft work as I was growing up over there.
What city did you live in?
In Detroit.
In Detroit. Uh-huh. How was that for you as a Native person? What sense did you have from the community there about you as a Native person? Or did you really see yourself as having a Native identity when you were there?
Not to the extent that I have it today, but as being the only Native person in the classroom, I was singled out as someone special. Like, oh, you're a Native person, you know, but not demeaning or anything. Mm-hmm. You were just somebody special. That it was quite a shock when I moved back here and what my children have to cope with when they go into the provincial schools. But I said, it's difficult for me to understand, because I never had to deal with it when I was growing up.
Tell me a little bit about what your children are dealing with.
Oh, there's subtle discrimination. It's really subtle, but it's there. But, just wait for times to change, I guess. Each generation seems to get a little bit better, I think.
Do you feel that it's because of what's happening today? Like, I think a majority of Native people are starting to lose the culture aspect of their heritage. And they're not learning so much about being aware of being Native. So the less they learn, the better chance they got to get along with different societies. How do you feel?
No, I don't. Like, you feel that the majority of the Native people are slowly being assimilated. Mm-hmm. I think they only are if they want to be. I think it's what you feel inside. You can still get along with the non-Natives and still retain your identity. And I said, in the long run, then you foster respect for yourself if you're still proud of who you are. It's what you are inside, I think, as if you...
What things do you see being done now that maybe weren't done 20 years ago when you first came back that might have to do with preserving the culture?
Oh, well, I think the main thing is the language. They're trying to hold on to the language here. And I think that is one of the most important things, that once you lose your language, your culture is gone. But still, you have to foster these feelings in the young people for them to be proud of who they are, proud that they're a Native person. You have to build self-respect into them to keep the culture alive.
you mentioned the language and the self-respect. What kinds of things do you feel would be a part of a Native, should be a part of a Native child's upbringing and learning that give them that strong sense of identity?
I think that question has been asked over and over, and I don't know if anybody's really come up with the answer. I don't think I can. I said, if we knew, we'd have it down in working in order. But I think the parents have to, in some way, instill in their children this pride of who they are. I don't know if all the history or culture classes or what would have any effect if the parents weren't part of it in teaching the children.
When you were learning beadwork, this woman that took you under her wing, did she ever tell you the meanings of the colors?
No. No, she didn't.
Did
no.
You don't use the circle of life in your work at all?
No, she never taught me anything other than, what did she say, that there should be at least 3 colors in your work, but she never told me why.
I teach beadwork in London. I mean, I try to teach the meaning of the colors and the directions. The use of the design that you put down. And that's why I asked you whether or not she taught you.
No, she didn't. No.
Usually you can go around and you can find out from different people what the meaning of the colors are, the design. Maybe she didn't.
I know the Delawares have 3 main colors. Don't ask me what they are, I've forgotten. I know one is red, black, and I don't know what the other color. Maybe. But that was, they said, what the Delawares had used were their colors.
Did they have a clan system?
A clan system with Turtle Clan? Is that what you mean? Yeah, we're of the Turtle Clan.
What kind of response do you get? First of all, how many people are in this band? How many on this reserve about?
Our band enrollment is over 600, but on reserve residents we must have maybe 350, 400.
Did you know that when you teach beadwork to your younger ones, you're teaching them the patience of the work? And you're also learning the patience of the child.
I believe that, yes.
It's the life cycle. So you're actually teaching that life cycle and you're not realizing you're teaching it. And the colors, you can find your colors if you give yourself 5 minutes per color. And every color that comes into your mind, the very first write it, keep writing it down. And then try it again some other day and see if those colors coincide with the first colors till they all come, till they all fit together. And then the very last time you try, those are the colors that are meant for you.
For your own use.
Your own colors.
Oh, this is something new. No.
Native people usually use earth colors.
Yeah, that I know.
Colors. The red, black, and white are Ojibwe colors. The green, black, no, the green, red, and yellow are Bear Clan colors. The Turtle Clan, I don't know because I'm not a turtle. Well, I could probably find out. But normally, any elder would know. Like, even if you went back to that woman and asked her, could you tell me, you know, if she's from the Turtle Clan, she would know the colors. Because she's old enough that she would know.
I remember them. Yeah, there's there's too many people left here that you could go to and ask these questions of. Because our religion, our native religion, died, I imagine, years ago because we were came with the Moravian missionaries. So any traditional ways were lost years ago.
But you can always give them back.
From whom, though?
You would probably have to go back to the states where mm-hmm. originally that's oh, where yes. the Delawares mm-hmm. were from. So mm-hmm. you would have to go back to the Delaware. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They're so strong in their beliefs that they've had held it together.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be one area where mm-hmm. you would go back to find out.
Yeah, I know that would be the place, but I was thinking just here on the reserve, there wouldn't be anyone, I don't think, that you could go to today to ask about any
of it. How old is your oldest uncle?
'90s, I suppose.
Yeah. See, if you, a lot of elders won't come to you. You have to go to them mm-hmm. in order to find out. And it'll take a long time before you can persuade them into mm-hmm. talking about things like that because it's something that they were told was wrong. Or
mm-hmm.
So if you show the interest, they would probably end up telling you everything you need to mm-hmm. know.
How many years ago did the group come here? Did your band come here? Seems to me they were one of the first groups in this area.
No, I wish I'd have. I wish I'd. No, I wish I'd had read up on that. I hate to ask that question and sound ignorant to them.
Yeah.
But it was. Be the 1800s,
yeah.
Early 1800s.
What kind of support or response or what kind of programs does the reserve have here to support your work or to encourage others to join in?
Well, there isn't too much happening right now. A number of years ago they'd had the craft club. They had Delaware language classes. But this has been a number of years ago. We haven't had anything, I'd say, within the last 5 years.
What do you think the reason is for that?
I don't know. I don't know. Whether it's everyone that is so busy with doing their own thing that... we have support with the recreation aspect of the community. That receives mm-hmm. a lot of support, but as for anything dealing with the culture, there isn't too much. And right now, I don't think there's anything.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see done if you could see something happen here?
What would I like to see done? I'd like to see our young people made more aware of, and you wouldn't say background, more aware of the of their culture, I suppose. And where they go from there after being provided with this information would be up to them, but just... I really don't know what I'd... I'd like to see the language retained. Some of the traditional ways. I'd like them to be made known to our children. But then that's the parents' decision if they're going to.
How do you think the parents feel? Do you think that they want their children to learn the language? Do you want their children to learn the craftwork?
Oh, I couldn't say. I really couldn't say what to... Other than speaking for myself, I couldn't say what the other parents would want.
What about you? Has anybody ever come up to you, like any child that you don't know, come up to you and ask you to teach Hebrew to them or show?
I've taught craft classes here. And I have requests from the young mothers for the materials. Where can they get certain things, leatherwork, beads, and if I have them, I provide them for them, but if I don't, then I'll send them somewhere else. But nothing's been happening in the last 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm. How do you find getting your materials? Is it difficult here, expensive, are you finding it fairly easy to get?
It's expensive if you want the deer hide, but I don't have any difficulty finding mine, and I've got a lot of garage sales.
You know that Northern Hide Incorporated? Did you ever hear of it? It's run by Native people.
Is that in the Sudbury area?
No, it's in Toronto.
In Toronto, no.
Yeah, there's a hide company in Toronto that will ship out the hide to you if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
The hide is in good condition. We've got some off in my house.
No, I don't think I have the address for that.
I also ran into an Amarin, a woman from West Bay, who's the craft coordinator there, and she says the Ojibwe Cultural Foundation has supplies a lot too. So,
this is going to be edited, I hope.
Oh, of course, because we're interviewing 30 or 40 women. You can imagine this is only going to be a 30 or 40 minute show. So, Yeah, we've had some great jokes that we couldn't put on to. So since you were growing up in Michigan, you really weren't around any craft workers or that kind of thing.
No, no, I wasn't.
So that wouldn't have been a part of your background. Are you aware of any other people on this reserve that you've heard about who have done work, say, other than bead and leather work? Basket makers or corn husk workers, are there any of those left on the reserve?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay. Since you started doing bead work, how has your work changed since you first began, whether it be the materials or designs or symbols? Your own expression. Have you noticed a change in the kind of work that you've done?
I don't think there's much change in it. I used to agonize over what colors to use. I'd sit there half a day trying to choose what colors, but now I can sit down and they'll come to me. Mm-hmm. But before it would be half a day sitting there. Should I use this? Should I use that? Will those go together? And